Father, we just invite you. We beg you that you would just quicken your word, empower your word, bring it to life in us. Lord, anything in us that is blocking us receiving your word, that you would bind it for now, but Lord, ultimately that you would come against it and remove it from us, because we really want your truth to win in us. We want Christ formed in us, and we want to be healed so we can walk in oneness with you. Yes. So, Lord, it's all resting on you. It all depends on you. Just come and do what only you can do in the name of Jesus. Amen. We are going to talk about being accepted today. Accepted. What do you have to do to be accepted by people? What have you done to be accepted by people? In your life, were there certain things you had to do for others, to in your home, in your family, in your job, in your church, in your friendships? You know, I remember when we were in school and they had all these clubs. If you went in a club, they had initiations, you know. If you wanted to be accepted in that club, you had to go through an initiation. Now they call it something else. What do they call that they do to college kids? And hazing, yeah. You had to be hazed, go through this hazing in order to be accepted in their club. That's really a wicked thing. And it's a wicked thing if you have to do something to be accepted. So I remember what I had to do in my childhood, but let's look what David did, King David, in 1 Samuel. What did David do to be accepted by the king? 1 Samuel chapter 18. Back in chapter 17, Daniel was the only one, as a young man, he was the only one who would stand against Goliath, the big giant of the Philistines who had taunted, and everyone was afraid. All the soldiers were afraid. But because David walked with God, he was not afraid. So he took his little slingshot and he killed Goliath. And that is what got David accepted by the king. It was an act of war, an act of violently taking down the enemy, and that was the basis of David's acceptance. So in chapter 18, it says, "And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day, and would let him go no more home to his father's house. He accepted him into the king's palace. Then Jonathan David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul." This is where it's showing that Jonathan David loved each other. But look at verse 5. "David went out whithersoever Saul sent him and behaved himself wisely. And Saul set him over men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of all Saul's servants." David was accepted because he killed Goliath. Then he was accepted into the palace and set over all the soldiers to be a man of war. And he went anywhere Saul sent him. Where did Saul send him? He sent him to war. He accepted him as a warrior, and he sent him to war. He sent him out into all the battles to fight these wars. But that is not who David really was. David wasn't a man who loved war. He was not a man who loved to fight. He was a man who loved God. He was a man who loved peace. He was a psalmist. He loved to play his harp and sing worship unto God. It was his heart's desire to live in peace and love, opposite of what he was being accepted for. He was accepted for fighting battles when he really hated war. So his actions are what got him accepted. As we read on in that chapter, we'd find out that he was also accepted by the men and women. When he came back from war, the women would sing, "Oh, David, he has killed his 10,000s, and Saul only killed 1,000. The women were attracted to him because he was a man of war. But that's not who David really was. So they weren't attracted to who he really was in his heart. And he didn't desire those women because they didn't really know him. Ever feel a little schizophrenic? When you're growing up, you've got this One day you're looking in the mirror and you're going, I really like myself, and these are the things that are true about me. And then another day you go, I can't stand me and the things I do. You know, we're kind of pulled about who we really are. And David was having to act out man of war when he wanted to be a man of love and compassion and mercy. And read the Psalms. That was the real David. Reading through the Psalms, we see a man who was just after God's own heart, who wanted peace and love. So, David did what he had to do to be accepted. When I was a child, and I've told this in some of the healing tapes, I remembered later in life, I kept having this dream. Now, why do I keep having this dream? But I felt like it was an infant in a crib, and in the dark. And somebody opened the door and a dark figure came in and clamped their hand over my mouth and screamed at me, shut up. Can't you just be quiet? And God told me later that that wasn't just a dream. That was a real occurrence. And whoever did that to me, I took it into my spirit. I need to be quiet. If I want to be accepted in this household, I need to be quiet. And I grew up forming a belief system that I should not be demanding, I should not be needy, I should not ask anyone to do things for me. If I wanted to fit in this house, be quiet, behave, be good, don't be needy, don't seek attention, just blend in, and don't be a problem to anyone. By taking on that belief system against myself, I also developed a judgmental belief system that if anybody else was loud and noisy, they were bad. If they demanded attention, they were wrong. And if they didn't just get their own needs and take care of themselves, but they were like, give me, give me, give me, they were doing something evil and wicked. Because once you put a system on you, you put it on everyone else too. So I found myself, whenever people would be constantly wanting me to do something for them, thinking they just want attention. You're right, they do. What's wrong with wanting attention? In my system, it was wrong. Why do they just whine and cry when they're sick? I don't whine and cry when I'm sick. I just go stay by myself and don't ask anybody to do anything. Does that make it right? For you to want someone to get you a drink of water when you're sick? Is that wrong? So I developed that system. I knew that I had a faulty system, but I never dealt with it. I never really dealt with it until we came to this courtroom thing. And yesterday, I'm just offended all day long by Harvey's mom because she beeped and beeped and beeped and beeped. And I'm thinking, she is not hungry. I fed her a big meal, hot cup of coffee. 1 hour later, can I have cocoa? 30 minutes later, can I have water? 30 minutes later, can I have ice cream? And I'm trying to do things and I'm thinking, there is nothing. She is not hungry. She is just doing this for attention. And I'm not 20, you know, I'm 61. I got bad knees. I'm up and down, up and down, up and down those stairs all day long. She's going to have to go to a nursing home if this doesn't stop because I'm not physically able to do this. You know, she's just too demanding. And she doesn't even appreciate it, you know. So I kept saying, God, I know I'm in sin, and I know I'm wrong, because I'm not feeling happy. You know, I'm not feeling peaceful, and I'm not feeling love. But I can't stop feeling it, so what is my problem? And he said, you never dealt with that belief system. You recognized it, you've even talked about it, but you never really took that thing to court. So this morning, I went back and I took my mom and my dad to court. I took my sister and brother to court. And I took Satan to court and said, all of them built this belief system in me and supported this belief system in me throughout my life. So I forgive them and I release them for that. And God, please forgive me for agreeing with them that this was truth and that this is how people need to live and that anything outside of this is wrong. Please forgive me for that. And I thank you that you do cleanse that system out of me. And you know, when he cleanses the system, when he brings you a truth, he wants to set you free from all these enemies of your soul. And in your soul is what you think. It's what you feel. You can't help what you think and feel. And the enemy has built things into what you think and feel to destroy you. When Janiyah was little, Harvey used to say, "Dry up. Stop crying. Dry up." And then her sisters and brothers supported that in her, saying, "You're just a crybaby. You cry about everything." She developed a system. "Something's wrong with me for crying. I'm not going to keep crying. Crying is wrong." And then when she'd cry, she would hate herself for crying. "I hate it. I just cry all the time." Some of you have heard her say that still. "I don't want to cry. I hate it when I cry." She built a system that crying was wrong. But one of her gifts in the spirit is compassion. Weeping over people, allowing God's compassion to weep through her. So the enemy came against that. One of my giftings was to speak and teach. He wanted me to shut up, be silent. Nobody wants to hear what you have to say. Everything you say is stupid, you know? So he built this whole quiet system in me. Obviously, I was going to have to nurse sick people. I've had to nurse my sister for 4 years, nurse my mom for 2.5 years. We're into about a year and a half on Harvey's mom. Obviously, God was going to give me some taking care of people to confront this system of you should not ask anybody for help and just do things for attention. He was going to give me needy people needing attention, and the devil wanted me not to meet those needs. So what happened with David? Much of his life being trapped as a man of war was coming against who David was, the psalmist who would write the entire book of Psalms to show us the heart of God. So look at Psalm 18. Let's see what God did for David. Starting in verse 16. Psalm 18, verse 16. Speaking about God, David says, "He sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me." Those enemies of your soul are too strong for you. You can't help what you think, and you can't help what you feel, as long as you believe it. "They prevented me in the day of my calamity." Prevented me means that they confronted me. They confront us all the time. The enemy is always there to accuse, to face you with his lies and deceptions and strongholds. "But the Lord was my stay." The Lord was my support. Once God gives you a truth, you now have a choice. "I've seen it. I know this is a lie." Now when the enemy comes and says, "They just want attention," you go, "You're right, and there's nothing wrong with that." Confront him back with the truth. "You are right. They're doing it for attention because they're hurting and they need attention." So you can leave. "I'm going to give them the attention they need. God's way. I'm going to ask God what he wants to do for them." "He brought me forth also into a large place." You know, the devil has us locked up and trapped and stifled. But when God sets us free, it's like, whoa, now I have all these things I can do that I could not do before. "He delivered me because he delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanliness of my hands, he has recompensed me." We are not righteous, but we have Jesus. And when he looks at us, he sees the righteousness of Christ in us. "For I have kept the ways of the Lord, and I have not wickedly departed from my God." That's a life choice. Every time we choose to say no to what the enemy is telling us, and yes to God, we're making a life choice not to depart from God's ways. "For all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. I was upright before him, and I kept myself from my iniquity." Once God has set you free from a lie, you have the lie returning to confront you, and you have the truth of God as your support. And you must make a choice. Devil's way, God's way. Devil's way, God's way. The more you choose God's way, the devil will finally go, "Wow, they got this one. I might as well give up. Find something else to come back with, because that doesn't work anymore." Truth has set them free. "Therefore hath the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands, and in his eyesight, in his eyesight, in Jesus, seeing us through Jesus. With the merciful, thou wilt show thyself merciful. With an upright man, thou wilt show thyself upright. Look down in 28. For thou wilt light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. He will bring us revelation if we want it. If you want to come out of your deception, if you want to come out of your bondage, he will give you light. He will bring you a truth to come out of it. I could have got up this morning and said, well, I don't care. I just don't want to wait on anybody. I don't want to take care of anybody. I'm older. I'm tired. I don't want to do it. But I don't want to live in what I want. I want to get rid of what I want. I want to get my want to straightened up. For by thee I have run through a troop. Now picture your bondage. And he says, and I have leaped over a wall. He's delivered me out of many waters, a troop. Picture all these soldiers around you, all these little demonic spirits around you. And they have encased you in your prison. And he says, but by God, I have run right through them all, leaped over the wall, out of my bondage in prison and into freedom. As for God, his way is perfect. It's complete. It's mature. But the word of the Lord is tried. He's a buckler to all those who trust him. He's a buckler to all those who trust them. Look at verse 37. I have pursued my enemies. I pursued them. They were pursuing me with all their lies, and I was just a victim. But now I'm getting truth, and I'm pursuing them. I'm saying, okay, I got it. I got a hold of a truth. It's okay for people to be loud. I'm going to go hang around loud people and tell them it's okay. It's okay for people to be needy and do things to get attention. Is what they're doing right? Maybe not. Maybe it's manipulating. Maybe it's controlling. Maybe they outright lie because they want attention. The way they're trying to get it is wrong. But the fact that they need it is okay. How am I going to pursue my enemy? My enemy is in them trying to control me, manipulate me, lie to me. Should I obey him? No. But does that person need attention? Yes. I'm going to pursue the enemy. Mom, you're not hungry. You just ate. Mom, you're not thirsty. You just had a drink. You don't really need those things, Mom. What you really need is some attention and love. So why don't we just spend some time together? Go after what God really wants to give her. Instead of saying, I will run down and give her a drink, run down and give her a donut, and run down and give her a glass of water, and run down and give her. That's not meeting the need anyway. Pursue the enemy in her by truth. Just go right after what she really needs. So you're not obeying enemies. You're not obeying evil spirits. Someone who comes to you in self-pity, I'm just such a victim. Somebody is always mean to me, and I'm just always sweet and nice, but they are just so mean to me. Self-pity. Should you pity that spirit? No, we're not here to comfort the demons. You confront that spirit and you tell them, there is a lot of truth in what you're telling me. You have been abused, but there's a way to handle that abuse. I'm really sorry you've been abused. Feeling sorry for yourself won't fix it. Let's fix it. Let's deal with the real truth, the real problem, and find out how God says for you to handle it and get delivered and healed. Because there's a real healing in God, but he does not heal the demon of self-pity. Got to kick that thing out kindly, gently, as he leads. But you can't comfort the person through comforting self-pity. I remember when Harvey and I were first married. Harvey was bipolar. Harvey was, what's that other word they say, bipolar and ADD and all those things. He was diagnosed with all that junk, put on Prozac, all that, you know. He would spend weeks in his room moping and he couldn't face life for absolutely no reason at all, total depression. And then he would be so high and excited that his head looked like a big tomato and we thought it was going to explode, you know, because he was so hyper, out of control, hyper, no controlling him when he got on the hyper side. So they put him on Prozac, which killed his personality. But prior to getting on Prozac, one of his times where he was depressed, I just don't want to live. And I kept trying to say, honey, everything is going to be okay. God is on our side. Nothing's going to be okay. Nothing is ever going to be okay. Harvey, and I'm trying to encourage that spirit. That spirit won't be encouraged. Finally, I just said, okay, you don't want to live? So let's figure out how you can die. What? What do you mean you don't want to live anymore? You want to give up. You want to give up. So why don't you just quit church and go live for the devil? I'm not going to do that. How about kill yourself? I'm not going to kill myself. Well, then what do you mean by give up? I confronted that spirit in him. He really didn't want to do any of those things. So he got mad at me. But getting mad at me brought him out of the self-pity. He came out of the self-pity because he realized he really didn't want to do anything it was saying to him. He just wanted me to feel sorry for him. And then he was able to start listening to God and get himself encouraged in God. So the truth is, everything that self-pity says to you is a total lie. It's a complete lie. It tells you nobody cares about you. This person did it because they hate you. They don't love you. They are not thinking about you. You know, I talked about sitting in the car waiting on Harvey, saying he doesn't care about me. He doesn't care how long I sit here. He forgot that I exist. None of that was true. That's not what was going through his mind at all. That is not what was in his mind. Once in a while, I watch Everybody loves Raymond. That's it. Everybody loves Raymond. It was so funny because right after I shared that with you, Raymond was accusing his wife of not caring about him because she always made him late. And here he was waiting on her, but she didn't care about him, you know, at all, that he was waiting on her. I went, whoa, same story, you know. It was pretty funny. But self-pity just lies to us. The enemy lies to us about everything. So David said that he had faced his enemies, and he had leaped over this wall, and he had run through a troop, and he had gotten free. And now he says, I pursue my enemies, and I have overtaken them. Verse 37, neither did I turn again until they were consumed. Once you know who your enemy is, what lie he has told you, and you have a truth, now you pursue him with that truth, and you don't turn away until he is gone. Till he is gone. You have to know what you're battling. For God, you have girded me with strength unto the battle. You have subdued under me those that rose up against me. You've given me the necks of my enemies that I might destroy those who hate me. David won. He got delivered. 48. He delivered me from my enemies. Yea, thou lifted me up above those that rise up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing your praises unto your name. Great deliverance giveth he to his king, and shows mercy to his anointed, to David, and to his seed forevermore. So David had to kill a lion when he was young. He had to kill that lion. And the story of that was known. And David had to kill Goliath. And David was known for being a man of war. And he was positioned and accepted as a man of war. But he was really a man of peace, a man of love. That's who he really was. The enemy wants to accuse you, position you, get you accepted in wrong ways, and make you believe that that's who you are and what you have to do to be accepted. But you don't have to live in that prison. You do not have to live in that prison. David got out of his trap, and you can get out of your trap by asking God what your trap is. And the way to find out what your trap is ask yourself what you've done for acceptance. What have you done to be accepted? When you were a child, what did you feel you had to do to be accepted in that home? This is your journaling before you're soaking today. Ask yourself these questions. What did I do in my home to be accepted? What did people praise me for? What did I do at school to be accepted, with the children, with the teachers? What did I do to get accepted on a job or to get friends? What am I doing to be accepted in church? Or what have I done to be accepted in other churches? Ultimately, do you think you're doing something to be accepted with God? What do you think you're doing? Because everything you're doing for acceptance is not who you are. It's what you're doing. Ask God to reveal to you those things that you've done that don't really define who you are. They don't define who you really are, really want to be down inside, who you were created to be. If you've done things to get accepted that go against who you really want to be, you need to repent. You need to forgive those who put that system in you, and then you need to repent of living that lie, accepting that lie, believing that lie about you, and now making it your belief system and imposing it on everyone else that you judge by that belief system. So ask God what it is today. But what do you expect from yourself now? What do you expect from yourself in order to think you're doing okay? What do you expect from yourself? What do you put on yourself for your own acceptance? What do you have to do for you to say, I'm okay, I'm pleased with what I'm doing? What do you have to do? Because even though you might have rejected those things from them, they might have snuck in there anyway. And now as an adult, you keep rejecting yourself because you know you rebelled against everything acceptable. So we still have an expectation of what do I do to accept myself? When I'm being really kind, if I'm giving, if I'm praying, if I'm reading, if I'm doing good deeds, if I'm working hard, if I'm earning a good paycheck, what is it that you have to do to accept yourself? Rebellion's not a bad thing to question either. What did I do to reject all of that? You know, basically belief systems. What belief systems has the enemy placed in you that God wants to tear down? And then a belief system is like a wall. I mean, it's just built of all these bricks of what you think, what you feel, what you know, what you do, and it builds a wall. And if you're going to leap over that wall, you got to take out all those lies. So as you're just sitting and waiting right now, ask God, God, please show me, what do I have to do? What is this acceptance thing? Is there any of it in me that is false? Do I have false belief systems that have been built by others' expectations or by my own? Am I putting that on other people? And is it all wrong? Because I want to know who I really am and be free to just be who I am, who you created me to be. And God, I want to repent of systems that cause me to judge others and judge myself wrongfully. Please show this to me today. Give me a revelation by your Spirit of truth that can set me free. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.